Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late now, everybody. Wake up late, everybody. Wake up late. Wake up late.
Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know
we're the hottest show in this place. Wake up late now, everybody. Wake up late now, everybody. Wake up late now, everybody. I said 1, 2, 3,
everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida, it's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and I'm here in Danger Studios with special guest, the stars of tonight's Wise Guys comedy show, Mr. DJ Dangler.
How's it going, man?
And Chris Cope.
Hello.
Yeah, and you all right?
Yeah.
We're beklempt. We're
excuse me. Am I better now?
Yeah, we're, you know.
I got to share this.
Being ready on the show. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, dude.
And always great to come to the studio. Comics who are at a much different level than me, so I get to learn. This is the moment where I get to sit and, you know, hear about you guys.
You are many levels ahead of me in taekwondo.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, many levels.
Especially after your recent...
Yeah, my recent
you're
tumble.
A club draw in terms of, like, black belt status. You know what I mean? Like, you're doing small theaters with your karate knowledge.
I know. I wish I could change those right now. I wish I could be like... I wish my karate can be like... I wish I could take all the credits from all the accomplishments in martial arts and just, you know, like, piece them together to get
start
like
a... roundhouse and bookers.
To get like a TV
and just,
credit.
And just do karate on weekends and local bars.
That's right. I get to go on stage and kick a watermelon off a shelf.
I'd watch that.
Yeah,
I really would too.
Would you watch me break a baseball bat?
I think I probably would.
Can you break a baseball bat?
Yeah, that was my big thing. When I was, you know, we used to go do demonstrations at like schools or in the mall or like the competition team. You get all these kids running around doing all these flips.
Did you tear a phone book in half?
No, that
wasn't. That's powerlifter shit. That's powerlifter stuff, not taekwondo.
Yeah, but they're powerlifting for Christ, though.
Oh, we had powerlifters for Christ come to our high school.
Yeah, mine too, man. Yeah. They'd bend nails and shit.
Yeah, blow up hot water bottles for Jesus.
Yeah.
I learned one thing. Jesus hates hot water bottles.
Yeah, yes. He's against it.
And phone books that aren't torn in half.
Yeah.
Thou shalt not know anything.
Yeah.
Thou shalt have bad tummy and not be able to call anyone. Keep it to yourself. Be humble. It is funny. I remember seeing that on TV, like on these channels.
And it was weird because it was in our school, it would be like a solid 40 minutes of just huge dudes breaking shit. And then like 6 minutes of also Jesus is great. But like because we're still in a public school, like they kind of had to be. It was a public school in Indiana where everybody was white and Protestant. And like we thought Catholic was... kind of like a different ethnicity. I'm dead
serious. Really? Like even Catholic as opposed to like
weird.
Yeah, Presbyterian Baptist or something like that?
Yeah, like, hey, you better, we like our blue-eyed Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one with the not-so-dark tan.
Yeah, yeah.
What's your race or religion what you want to connect to?
Human cleric.
My ethnic background, I think, is German.
Right.
Because my whole last name is Copenhaver.
Hmm.
Religion-wise, pretty much unaffiliated.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that because you're not practicing or your family didn't practice and you
No, I grew up in the church, Baptist. I just, you know.
Yeah.
I read more as I got older.
Yeah. And you feel that you became enlightened by...
I wouldn't say enlightened. I think it's just... I mean, people got yoga, people got golf. Whatever takes away your stress, whether it's closing your eyes for 5 minutes and talking to someone that's not there, but you feel better about yourself... I'm all for it. Whatever keeps people from going fucking nuts in this world.
Right. There's a lot of people because of it went nuts.
Yeah, I get it. You know, it's a like double-edged coin.
It's like a can opener. Some people could take a can opener, open a can of tuna. Another person would take it and shove it up their own ass. You know what I mean? And then you're like,
I'm hoping that goes in.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it's going on inside.
It would be something that most people wouldn't even think about, but for that one person. You know, talking about mistakes... And we've all suffered back pain. We were talking before the show, but you had fallen off a mountain.
Yeah. I was out hiking about a year and a half ago and just fell. Like, no real... People are always like, what were you... It was so fast. There wasn't a whole lot to it.
Now, wait a minute. So you're walking on a bit of a terrain where you're trying to walk and something slipped and then...
I got to a spot where, like, we had gotten lost. We had gotten off the trail and we had come to a spot that was pretty steep. So steep that, like, I didn't want to walk down it. I turned around and climbed down it.
Right.
And, it had rained the day before.
Hmm.
Then I had lost some footing. And then, I slid for probably about 10 feet, 12 feet. And I only fell for, like, 6 or 7. Like, it wasn't a...
Right.
It wasn't a Homer Simpson going down the ravine.
But, you watch that, you're like, why isn't he dead?
Yeah. It is weird. One of the things, like, one of the lingering side effects is I have a hard time watching people... fall down.
Yeah.
Not violent. Like, I can still watch people get knocked out and all of that. But I was watching, like, what is it? Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Right.
It was my first time watching it. And there's a scene where, like, the guy's suspended and he gets cut down and just falls. Pretty similar to how I... And it was just one of those, like, oh, that's not even sore. Yeah, fuck this movie. I hate it.
Yeah. Thumbs down.
Yeah. This movie is not
I'm
sensitive.
I'm putting on John Wick. I want something a little less extreme.
Yeah. Did I say down?
Yeah,
it's thumbs middle. It's what's weird about a moment like to me when you tell me that story. I always like to put myself there. Like we're talking about fighting and all that stuff. Yeah. You know, the most important thing about fighting and defending yourself is being almost ready for anything. Like, nothing shocks you. Like, being on stage, you can't be shocked by a heckler. You can't be taken off because something happened or somebody spilled the tray of food. You know what I mean? Little stupid things like that. So in fighting, that's what it's about. It's about So when you're telling me that story, I'm picturing myself, okay, the first thing now in my stage of life, if I find myself lost and now I have to scale down a fucking mountain to actually move on, I'm going to be like, wait a minute here.
Yeah, this isn't the way to go.
I think I may just stay right where I'm at until
It was weird. I didn't realize I knew I was hurt immediately. Right. Like, I grew up playing a lot of sports and being a rough and tumble human. Like, I was a good football player.
You banged
I wrestled.
Your head.
Yeah, like I've been concussed many times. But this was the only time I'd ever been hurt. Like, this was the only time I was like, oh, getting hit sucks. I know that sounds ridiculous.
Did you get up or did you have to get flown out?
No, I rolled over and pushed myself up and walked out of the
range. Now, were there other people with you?
There was one other guy with me, the guy I was hiking with. Yeah. And like, when I fell, a whole bunch, every old person in California circled around and worried. Like, it was one of those, now let's just walk it off.
Had a prayer chant.
Yeah, but it was nuts, man. I knew I was hurt. I didn't realize how bad. And the fact that I could get up and shit made me think I was okay.
Yeah.
Like, it was one of those, like, I can't be that broken.
See, but right there, I'm such a hypochondriac that I would have thought about that woman whose name's wife, that was a skiing accident. She hit her. She thought she was fine. And then next thing you know, she's dead.
Yeah.
From the trauma of the impact. You know what I mean? Whose wife? Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson, the guy from Taken. Remember his wife died in a skiing accident or something?
I didn't know that.
Happened or a car accident?
It sounds familiar now, but I had forgotten.
Listen,
that.
Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story.
Yeah. Isn't that how the tall bad guy in Braveheart in real life died? Like, I think, like, he was tall or, like, long shank. Like, I think he stood up and cracked his head.
In the movie?
Died that. No, in real life.
Like, he walked into a ceiling fan?
Yep. Walk into a doorway.
Yeah.
And then died like that night, and everybody's like, oh, it was probably from that bump on the noggin.
That's all I kept thinking about. I was in Chattanooga last week.
The old man that played that
No, king? No, no. In real life, that actor. Or in real life, that king.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, the guy.
Longshanks.
Okay.
The king.
You can't bump your head then die that night. It was probably something.
It was poison or,
I saw him bump his head. Give him the Hemlock.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that part. Fag out the window. That's a fucking great part of that movie.
I watched that so young the first time. I didn't even realize the gay son. And then I watched it again, and I was like, oh, that's so. I was such a dumb little kid.
Yeah. I watched it years before, and of course, I know as I was young. But then my comedy friend Lenny Travis. On the show, did the whole scene basically, and ended with that. And I started laughing, Braveheart, great movie. I watched something with Mel Gibson recently. My wife has, we're looking at channels. We're at the comedy condo in Titton when there's nothing to do, and he's in a movie, Blood Daughter.
Yeah,
you seen it?
No, I saw the trailer for it.
Yeah.
Was it good?
He's like a tattoo ex-con artist. Yeah. Tattoo artist. That his daughter's worse than him because he left her, you know. And it was a good role. I think he did, you know, listen, I think he's a great actor.
He's great.
Yeah, he hates the Jews, I guess, but, you know.
Huge bigot.
Man, you worked in Hollywood for 40 years and see exactly that. No, I'm kidding. I have no ill will towards anyone.
All of a sudden, a swastika appears on the... Anyway.
Let's not use that word.
Now, you know, you guys in L.A., you know, you live in L.A.?
Not anymore. No, okay. I've been back in the Midwest since
I find things interesting, much like when you fell to the floor and thought you can get up. I always find it interesting when we find three of us here in this room together. One, I booked Tavolino's, and I have obviously the radio show, so I'll be here. Chris, who you met, last time we saw each other was at SLO Comedy Festival, probably in 2015. That was a fun week.
I recommend that festival, too. I mean, it's not great with industry, but it's a fun time.
Right. You had a great time. I remember. I still remember drinking Fireballs one night and not remembering getting back to the hotel.
The hotel's dope, too, because they all put you in, like, we have our own wing.
Right.
So it just turns into, like, a frat party.
That's always super fun when you kind of take a place over.
Yeah. And there's other people that were there.
We had cards.
We had, like, 40 people in one hotel room after the shows one night.
Is it, like, a tinier town, or is it a big city?
Yeah, it's a bit between.
Yeah, San Luis Obispo is a small town. But it's so quaint and cute. The whole town supports the fuck out of that festival. Yeah.
Right. So when you've got, like, 40 or 50 guys that kind of know each other, it's a weird, fun experience.
Yeah,
it's like camp for 30-year-olds.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why, at this point, I've been with the World Series of Comedy. I've been going for a few years, and it's like a summer camp just to go to Vegas and do shows in town.
Yeah, that's why, like, Big Sky, like, the best thing about winning is the fact that I get to go back for, let me see, I went back this year. I'll go one more year, and then I think I'm done.
Then you're out. They don't want you around.
Well, it's because, like...
they're like, okay, we've had enough.
They've had five winners.
Right.
And they bring back four every year, so it's like the first winner, Byron... He doesn't really come back for shows anymore, which is sad because I like Byron. But yeah, then it's like this four, and they keep rotating it out. So eventually, and I'm like here. So after two more, I'm out.
Yeah, there you go. You push through like a. But you know, in a
pyramid scheme. 5 years of going to the same festival, I'm pretty sure I'll be very or 4 years. I'll be extremely happy to say.
No, you were talking about the importance of festivals and things like that. Like, I've always told comics that, you know, I like going to them, one, because, you know, with the World Series of Comedy, I would do satellites because I want to work those clubs.
Yeah.
How better can you showcase at a club?
Yeah, that's a smart thing. You know, even if you don't move on, if you can walk out of that club's email or whatever, or that booker telling you he's going to book you, then the festivals are...
Now, that can go one of a few ways. You can go there and not be memorable and probably not be able to go back to that club. Even your emails will not even be looked at. Or... You're gonna be ready, and you know you're gonna go and do well, and hopefully it works out well.
That's the thing, you want to move on. I think when you move on, you feel real comfortable about asking that club for its contact.
Hey, don't ask them if you didn't advance.
Yeah, if you eat a dick, just move somewhere else. There's other clubs.
Just go up to the owner and go, "Hey, my name is Billy Todd."
You know, shit.
Nice seeing you. Thanks for having me.
I'm Steve.
I thought that was a stage name. You know, you got to do that. But you know, now at this stage, you know, I want to do. Big Sky, I'm entering that one. You know, that's a nice guy. I've never done it. And obviously, the industry, and like, even me, I'm asking myself as a comic, I'm like, do I really want to show? You know what I mean? Maybe I should wait a year. Like, and then I think, well, if I get in or don't, it'll all be about fate. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, you figure you submit, then it takes time. So, like, there's extra time to, you know, whatever growth you think you need to make. Submit anyways.
Right.
I mean, just because if you get picked, even if you're not, I mean, just getting in front, making those connections, getting on their radar, you know, because a lot of stuff doesn't happen right away. If like when they see you, it's just, you make that connection. They see that, oh, cool. Okay. He's now worth my time because he got into one of the harder festivals to get into.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think.
It's not good to have Waffle House on your resume. You know what I mean?
I have Waffle House.
Yeah, well, I'm just, you know.
I have a letter from their CEO.
Yeah. It's one of my old. That's one of my old open mic jokes, and like about the undercover boss. Yeah. I'm like, that's the most ridiculous show. Like, all those people should be fired for not recognizing their CEO with a fucking bad wig and a hat.
Oh shit!
You know, and black rim glasses.
Your terrible detective work means you can't work here.
Yeah, the head department of our security didn't recognize. You know, and it would work at a Waffle House because you know you could sit there with a suit. The CEO could be sitting there with his badge on. Lady will come up and go, "Oh, can I help you, CEO? What do you want for breakfast?" Which, by your response, that's why I don't tell it on stage. Just the open mic. But yeah, you're right. But to me, I want to. And now, let me ask you the structure. That's so. It's a contest.
pretty much.
Right? And so what it is, so when you go up, you're doing a certain set that you can't repeat. Can you repeat material?
The first two rounds you can repeat because you get in front of two different judges.
Right.
Or judge class, you know, like groups. So you can do the same five. I think it's five or seven. I think it's probably seven. And then if you advance to the finals, you, you're encouraged to not repeat material.
Right.
I did not repeat material the year I won.
And I would suggest anybody not to.
Show the people
show
you
the
have,
range.
Yeah, show you have at least 10, 15 minutes of material, you know. But honestly, nowadays, the intelligence I've gathered, it seems like as long as you got 7-8 minutes that are really TV could,
right,
and you fit into a bracket, you're good. You know, you can't make any money off you're not going to make money off your career.
Right.
Like, you know, outside of, I mean, a lot of comics in LA that have like some TV credits and, you know, they're great on colleges because colleges are great. They have diversity.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of guys that get to work because they get to come in on like a Latino night.
Right.
You know, and they're able to work when they can't even do work a club. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because like, colleges are just kind of a bogus thing. They're just paid well.
You know, like I know most of my material, you know, I did a comedy kosher comedy show. So I had to do 25 minutes kosher clean. So I know I could do clean, you know, but whether or not it's at this point is a much different level of politically correctness.
I've had that. You know? I've had that where I was booked to do a clean show and I was like, yeah, I can do a clean show. It's not my favorite, but I can do it.
So this motherfucker walks in.
I get there and it's a bunch of kids.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, I was clean, but I wasn't 7-year-old. Like, so I did what everybody does when they have more time than they can fill. I did fucking crowd work. That's what I did.
Nothing
crowd
better.
Work with little kids.
I booked a Christmas party and it was like first half hour of the show is going to be clean. The second half is going to be dirty. So I'm like, I can do an hour, no problem. I get there, and there's half the audience is kids. So I go outside, and I go on my phone, and I look up Christmas jokes for kids.
Yeah.
I brought every single child on stage. I looked up a joke. I read the setup. Then I whispered the punchline in their ear. Every parent wanted a fucking picture of their kid on stage.
Absolutely. Yeah.
With
about
me,
that,
you know. And afterwards, the guy gave me a fucking tip because he's like, that was brilliant. I was like, dude. Yeah. I just was able to kill a bear with a spoon because I had to.
Yeah. I was just going to say I had a similar thing where it was all kids. It was
you like just a, do it was whatever. Like private, that's not a real
it was,
show.
It was a private party. It was like a private party to roll up a beautiful penthouse in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was like you said, I get there's family. It was clean. It wasn't clean. And there was like 20 kids, anywhere between 10 to 13 kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And there was, you know, younger parents all uppity, you know. And I'm like, all right. So that's what I did. I did a little jokey joke. And I said, brought each kid up.
Mm-hmm.
And I interviewed the kid. I just did an interview with them and ask them stupid questions and, you know, mess with them. And, you know, like you bring everybody up and like, okay, who wants me, you know, what do you got to tell them? You know, anybody can give me. And it just ended up being about them and everybody just had the greatest time.
Yeah, as long as the kids are having, and then once they got the kids out of the room for my show, I just did a half hour of my jokes.
Right.
And the parents all loved you because you had put their kids to bed and they were like, oh my, yeah.
Yeah, all their kids got to be a star for 1 minute.
The same show with all those kids, I probably worked with the guy with the most impressive credits I've ever worked with in my life. He's like the premier pumpkin carver in so he has like all the credits, like all of them. He's been on every Today Show and every
pumpkin.
He's there. He's super famous every October. He was the first guy I had ever seen to like pull the guts of a pumpkin out to make it look like they had thrown up. You know, like you've seen that kind of nonsense.
Oh, yeah.
And like he did other weird stuff. Like he had cut them open.
Did he cut like diamonds in the eyes?
Yep, and like stitched them together to look like Frankenstein out of two different. It was awesome. Like the guy was cool.
Like I've seen the ones where they carve faces into like actual. It's like,
oh yeah, like,
and
like,
it, but,
like,
but this guy like, actually doctors up the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Uses all that stuff like your beard. Like he can give you one of your beards.
Yep, it was
with
so
all the guts
funny.
Of the pumpkin.
It was
right,
so
like
cool.
Big eyebrows.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It was
talented.
Fun.
Well, you were up. Were you the opening act for this guy?
No, I had to follow that. It was total bullshit. Those kids were in love with him.
The pumpkin
You're
guy.
Fucked.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, it's amazing about this business because anywhere you can go with it, like you're saying, like TV, when you go to a thing like, you know, Big Sky, like I want to go to showcase and, you know, I want to do acting. I've done acting. I've done Shakespeare plays.
Yeah, I mean,
and
I got my commercial agent, which when they expanded, I now have commercial and theatrical because of Big Sky because, you know, I got with Rain. So, I mean, and the thing is, you go there, you don't necessarily have to win to get a ton of, like, just exposure, maybe get new agencies, and, you know, it's...
Just be a positive part of the whole thing, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
and
that's
also,
that should be your only goal. I always thought when you go to...
Have fun, yeah. Just try not to be an asshole. Because every year there's someone that's an asshole. Well, also, it costs your flight You got to fly there. That's it.
Right.
Like, I did Laughing Skull, and I had fun, but the cost of the festival was nearly $1,000. And I'm like, we're all broke comedians.
Right.
Like, we're, like, that's ridiculous.
That's so much money.
That's a lot
because
of money.
Because I'm so you have 70 comics, plus, so you have 100 comics submitting.
Right.
What do you do with all that money? Because you're doing it at bar shows. We know you're not paying the bar.
Well, let's do the math. So let's say how many? 70, 100?
They pick 100, so you figure, let's just say five times that.
Right, 500 people submit at least.
That's $15,000 at $30 a submission.
Yeah.
Okay, what'd you do with it? Because you don't give you gave us a tote bag and a t-shirt?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Thanks for the tchotskis.
Yeah, no shit. Like, I don't know. I believe some festivals are purely money-making schemes.
Well, yeah, I would say that.
Under the guise of helping comedians.
Well, yeah. I we're in America, and, you know, there's things, you know, the ShamWow really is just a fucking really absorbent, you know, chammy. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's but he made it the ShamWow. So, you know, that's the thing about it. And that's the thing. Now, hopefully you would think when things like that perpetuate, it only goes into and falls itself crashing into a hole. If that's in fact what it is.
A lot of festivals kind of do that. They go for a couple of years and then they peter out because...
Yeah, I mean, there's been some festivals of the first year that the person didn't even get paid and it was just no longer a second festival.
No, for sure.
There wasn't a second... You know? Oh, by the way, there's going to be new... but I think that's important. And yeah, and if you're a newer comic, I think it's a really good experience for a lot of people to realize where you are really at in comedy.
I would say 50 to 60% of all submissions for every single comedy festival are comics that are 3 years in.
Right.
Which, throw the dice. You never know if you're going to get picked, but if you're 3 years in, you probably don't know what a good clip looks like.
Right.
You don't, you know. And I mean, it's
funny what some of these clips they say, like somebody holding it, their girlfriend's holding it.
I've seen shit like that, dude. Yeah. I've got to see some like people's submissions, and I'm like, you're fucking kidding me.
By the way, Tyrone Davis says hello on Facebook Live.
TD!
And
I miss you, buddy.
That's right. But we're going to take a break here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about things like what you need to know. These are things that have happened. I don't know if you know them yet or not, but you probably should know them. At least I think that you should know them. And it's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, not the Wake Up With You show. So that's what we'll do. I'm here with Chris Cope and DJ...
Dangler.
Yeah. I fucked up your name on the poster, by the way.
Because his real name is a wrestler's name.
Yeah.
So like your dad's like, he's going to have one occupation.
Yeah, that's
one...
it. That's all he can do.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, guys, we'll be at Tavolino's tonight, the Wise Guys Comedy Show, just $10. 8:15 showtime. Come, great. You'll order the eggplant parm. It's the best you've ever had.
Ooh, I love an eggplant parm.
Dude, it's the best. I'm an aficionado of Italian food. And if I have a choice, I'm a chicken parm, veal parm.
Yeah.
You know, there's penne alla vodka. I mean, the sauce is with... I'm just saying. Tonight, just $10 for the show. Come out. And we'll be back with the rest right after this.
This is Ciro Dobrik on the Waking Up Late with Dougie show. Let's get wild and crazy and talk about comedy.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. It's Tuesday night, isn't it? No, it's Wednesday. It's hump day. I'm here with DJ Dangler and Chris Cope, who are tonight's comedians for the Wise Guys Comedy Show. If you're not got any plans tonight, come out to Tavolino's 8:15 and see us. I'm going to be hosting the show. Got some new jokes. Some topical jokes. That's what happens when you host a weekly show. You got to come up with some topical humor. How do you feel about topical humor?
I like it. I mean, I don't do a lot of it just because I don't like writing any joke with an expiration date.
Yeah.
I just seem it's I would say topical stuff for like my Twitter feed and stuff. That's about it.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah,
but a good topical joke just makes you feel so good.
It does, man.
You feel so goddamn alive.
Oh, it does.
You know, to me, I think topical jokes at work, to me, it's a recycling thing because I always think about it. I'd love to be a writer for a talk show or, you know, a talk show host or any type of show like that. And, you know, so to be able to do that, like, you know, here's a great example of a rebirth. You know, about a year and a half ago, I used to tell a joke You all heard about Bruce Jenner. I'm sure by now you all heard of being found guilty of manslaughter, which this is when he had the accident. You know, he was going through the thing, and it's one of those jokes that people start and they start laughing. I'm like, I'm trying to keep things simple, folks. And now that he's finally removed his penis, I can now say, I'm sure you heard the news about Caitlyn Jenner being found guilty of manslaughter. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like a topical joke that had a rebound. Yeah. Like it's like the bell bottoms.
Yep.
Came back.
Come back. Yeah. Sometimes, I mean, like when, you know, a president gets reelected or something, you just go, okay, I can still beat this joke for four more years.
Yeah.
Anybody who's a Trump impersonator is happy as fuck right now. Think about how many people are, you know, you talk about a guy who can carve pumpkins. I bet you the guy who used to carve the pumpkins is now doing...
He's making Trumps.
Yeah, he's doing Trump
money. Trumpkins, and they're beautiful. Yeah,
Trumpkins. That sounds like they're followers.
Yeah.
I bet he is. I imagine that'd be...
Because their heads are fucking full of seeds.
That's what I think.
Well, this is what we call... what you need to know. Like, you know, there's a lot of things that happened. Like, one of the things I found interesting was an Iranian gunship tried to impede a destroyer, a U.S. destroyer. And we evaded it a little bit, and then we shot some flares at it. You know, those are things that you read, and you're like, okay, what's coming up? North Korea. You guys ever think, you guys worry about this?
I read an article today, CNN did a thing, like had some interviews with some like chief strategists that were like, it's just more saber rattling. I think it's less.
Yeah.
As crazy as they are, they would never shoot something at us, I think. And like, I just don't see them. They know what they're... They either take a shot at us and miss and get fucked up, or they shoot one. They shoot their missiles where they can land, and we fuck them up, and we don't lose the cat. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like they have no wins, and it literally would take 3 or 4 days to pound that fucking country into nothing.
Yeah, North Korea. We're talking about
Like blowing up North Central Florida.
The best part about this right now is China's. They even stepped it up today. They actually condone. They're basically saying, look, we are now recognizing them as a. A potential, you know, threat like that we may want to deal with.
I was just listening to an interesting take, though, on the threat that they do pose. Not so much a casualty loss, but were they to detonate a nuke above us in space and take out our satellites and such, it could fuck us rotten without technically killing anyone.
Yeah.
How do we behave at that point, which is clearly an act of terrorism? Like, I mean, like that disrupts our livelihood and whatever.
My thought is, I think they do anything of the sort, we flatten them. We hit them with everything.
Yeah, but he's saying
that's a difficult pull.
He's saying in a conspiracy theory, if they nuke that, then we don't have the capability.
No, we'll even have the capacity. Yeah.
No, we're still going to fly planes over there. Where the fuck they're at?
We still have the ability no matter what.
I think Americans killing someone that didn't kill us, even if they took all of our money, we are in a position where it's hard to paint us as a good guy globally.
Right.
And
why bother trying to get that? I think that's what the... No, but I think it's a past administration
I think
was trying
if
to
they
do.
Were to do something, us, like you make, said, like you know, detonating a nuke in space, damaging all of our satellites, that is an act of war. That's an act of war.
Do you think a proportional response is killing at least tens of thousands of human beings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because... if you don't retaliate,
because that's a chess move that can lead to checkmate.
Like I understand your position, but like I even understand your whatever.
Right.
I'm saying I don't know if you would be so cavalier about that if you were French or if you were a Brit, being like, "Hey, fuck it, they didn't kill any Americans; they just fucked them up." You're not allowed to.
Nobody got people got 10 channels instead of a million.
So what you're saying is, if I walk up to a complete stranger and punch him because I didn't kill him with my fist. Although I did interrupt his day, I heard him.
If he kills you, I think he's a dick. Yeah.
I think don't pick a fight.
Listen, if he kills you, I'm going to call a Comedy Zone and ask him for your dates.
I know we're in stand your ground country.
No, I sincerely think it's don't pick a fight unless you know the full outcome of what you're going to do.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel as a guy who has closed a lot of fights, I know I'm the bad guy when I do, even if I'm like, that guy started it. And they're like, yeah, but you're bigger than him. And I've been the bad guy in every fight I've ever been.
Because you're the tall guy?
Yep. If we are at the... a couple of weeks ago, I was at the comic book convention. I was performing, and we were learning how to shoot bow and arrows.
Yeah, it's always helpful.
And because I was
at a comic book convention,
fun
archer.
Like,
but they were made with hearts,
fun. Like archery, like
it was a weird. They had like flat ended, but they were real bows. I fucking tore my forearm up shooting them. We shot fake arrows at each other. It was a blast.
Wow, I bet.
But because I was tall, that guy yelled at me. You'd have thought that I was goddamn Hawkeye. I was no better than anybody else. just taller, and I have a beard. So that guy yelled, "No narco!" I was doing nothing different than anyone else, but I look like a bad guy.
Right, you were like, he thought you were stretching the bow too hard.
I thought I was taken. I was like, I am not doing anything that anyone else isn't. I wasn't particularly good at it, but I look mean.
Yeah, I mean, you could be like in the Game of Thrones up there in the north by the wall.
I get a lot of that, but yeah.
But back to the thing, I just also don't like the idea of like, don't intimidate us. Don't try to put fear in us.
I get that. Yeah.
So it's like if you want to start a fight with someone 10 times your size,
yeah,
then you're gonna lose your fucking fronts.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I think the good thing is that China. I mentioned this on the show a couple weeks ago.
If actually, it's a joint strike between China and the United States,
well,
the world will have no problem.
Well,
with
that,
it.
Yeah.
The world's going to go. The two biggest superpowers next to Russia are like, you know, especially if they do.
Yeah.
If they strike first.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
I don't think you'll see them strike first. I think that's the thing. But again,
just keep sanctioning them. Fucking starve them to death.
It's everything from negotiations and things like this. Trump talks about treaties and stuff like that.
Fucking
all
Rex Tillerson.
Yeah. Well, listen. You and I are gonna be different. I love the man. Is that it's all about that? It's all maneuvering and stuff like that. And you know, and I think the world changed a little bit when those Tomahawks hit those Syrian airbase. It was a different feel, and that may cause panic. Much like in fighting, this is a great story. I can still picture it. I'm thinking of it. I got into a fight with a bigger guy, the bad guy, and I'm a short guy. I'm 5'9". The guy's thinking,
"That's a piece of shit."
Yeah, that guy's thinking, "I'm going to take this tough Guido out. I'll knock him out in front of my." And he had thrown a punch, and I kind of slipped it, and I kind of hit him with a Bruce Lee punch. Yeah. I just came straight at him right in the chest, and wham! And he stood back, and he had that look in his eye like. And I knew right there. I said, "Hey, this guy's going to back off, or he's going to do something even stupid." And of course, he comes back at me again, like trying. And that's when the Moab. I dropped my own Moab, and Tiger Fist to the throat, and he went down. But you have to make a decision now. The real question: will this person do it? Enough talk about anger and stuff like that.
There was a really good thing I read. Like people are quoting. It was in an article. About how, why did Trump bomb Syria for poisoning children? Shouldn't we have started with Flint first?
Flint?
Michigan?
Flint, Michigan.
They haven't had clean water in like a year.
Yeah, by the way, all of a sudden Trump says, "Okay, aim your torts. We're hitting Flint. We're gonna hit the city public, the public waterway."
We both know he's been wanting to.
Yeah.
Today at 0400 hours, we took out the Flint water capacity. There were three. Casualties.
I'm here to make America better and our water better.
The word's bitter. I'm saying it wrong. Bitter.
United can't get out of the stop getting into the
Something else. Shut up.
Yeah, Simon, the giant rabbit, destined to be the world's biggest. Boy, this rabbit had dreams. Dies on a United flight.
They killed him.
Yeah, apparently he wouldn't be. He wouldn't take $400. And a carrot.
so security pulled him out hard.
The picture's just a woman eating a piece of chicken. Just
yeah.
That's how big was the bunny?
Let's see. After a giant rabbit died mysteriously on its plane, the 3-foot Simon, destined to be the world's biggest bunny, died in the cargo section of a Boeing 767 after flying out of Heathrow to a new celebrity owner in the U.S., breeder Annette Edwards, blah, blah, blah. He was fit as a fiddle. Well,
so he suffocated probably.
Putting a rabbit on an airplane is a terrible idea because rabbits are always fucking scared. Don't rabbits freak out and give themselves heart attacks all the time? Or is that just hillbilly nonsense?
Well, they shit pellets all the time. They seem they always have their shit scared out of them.
Yeah, you only ever see a rabbit terrified or full out sprint. Right? Like, that's it. Like, rabbits are never relaxed. Putting it on an airplane seems like a bad idea. Like, hey, you want to go to a firework factory PTSD animal?
Plus, as we all know, rabbits eat carrots, and they got good eyesight. So we know they read the paper, and they read the shit about United. So he was scared of shit
down there.
Scared
of scorpions. And
Why couldn't you got American? Virgin? We're at Heathrow.
You know, I'm nervous. I can't deal with this pressure.
I just decided that all rabbits have PTSD, and that's probably that's all I'm going to talk about tonight.
You think all animals have PTSD?
I do. I'm a big animal social justice.
I'm just waiting for you to label me with it. I haven't served. You've seen things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did a one-nighter in Topeka.
The woman said that he had a checkup at the vets 3 hours before the flight. Something very strange has happened, and I want to know.
I blame the vet then.
Yeah, maybe the vet
gave him something. Seriously. Because people travel with pets all the time. Mm-hmm. So who knows?
Yeah.
My weed pen kind of blew up in, when I was in the air.
Well, really?
Yeah, when I was flying. I got it done, and it leaked everywhere. I was like, I guess it may have something with the pressure of the cabin or...
Hmm. Wow.
But yeah, the pen does... I got to clean it out. It's all gunked up now. I got to see if it's either, you know, forever broken or I just got to clean it out.
That's it. I don't know. You fly with stuff like that?
I don't. I'm a big coward. I'll usually eat food before I'll get on the airport. But I buy weed when I land.
Yeah,
not me. Yeah. I am using the last bit of white privilege I have to not be suspicious walking through an airport.
Right.
And I fly with whatever the fuck I would like to fly with.
Really? Congratulations.
I have a friend that's super cavalier. Do you have any friends? Like, I've got a buddy that's just...
I wouldn't say I'm cavalier. I just play the odds.
He just
sounds to me.
Get in trouble. Okay. He's been my buddy my whole life, and he's just... He looks innocent. He looks
sweet.
Can I
say something?
Right.
When I flew this last time from more LAX to Orlando, excuse me, I had a quarter and a half of weed, edibles, couple vape cartridges. When I go through TSA with my backpack, they pull it. They find my can of Murray's hair pomade because it's 10. That's the only thing they saw. That's it.
Right.
Those X-ray machines can't really see inside.
Listen,
they see
saying
shapes.
That now we're going to be the next thing you know, a bunch of ISIS guys will be bringing bombs and hemp pens.
No. You see, the thing is, you can't. I mean, even that. I mean, they'd still notice it because the X-ray looks for like liquids, chemicals, and metals.
Right.
The components of a bomb.
Right. They're not that worried about our. I have friends that still take.
They don't
duct
care
tape.
About Americans' personal drug consumption. I mean, if you're trying to get a kilo through.
Yeah, somebody's take electric tape, whatever, or that Scotch, or no, duct tape, and duct tape it to the back of your balls.
Yeah,
nice little, you know. I'm like, why?
It in your carry on. Just wrap it up where it doesn't smell.
Yeah.
And I mean,
yeah, okay. I always get that moment where I'm watching that scene from Midnight Run, or what is it, Midnight Express? Yeah. What was the movie where the guy got pulled in Turkey for hash? You ever see that Midnight Express?
Oh, if I'm flying internationally, I don't take a fucking thing. I'll eat 15 brownies before I get on the plane, but I'm not. No, this is all domestic behavior. This is international. I take that back.
Any particular airline you like to use more than others?
Virgin.
Virgin
and JetBlue.
Yeah, they're really good.
Oh my God. Virgin's like a club.
Right.
Virgin Air, seriously, if you're listening to me, I love your airline.
They don't fly everywhere, though. That's a problem with Virgin.
Yeah, but they're
like
getting...
JetBlue even has more, but...
I know. Southwest is surprisingly not bad.
I love Southwest.
I think it was my last Southwest flight. It wasn't this one, but free movies. Made my day. Like, it was just one of those. Yeah, I watched the crappy new Bourne movie and two episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Yeah.
That's a great show.
Yeah, but like, it was one of those, not a big
trip. So you're giving that a thumbs down the hill? I'm sorry, thumbs.
But like, it was weird how... Like, I've bought getting that $3 free movie.
Right.
Made it without question. Best fucking flight of my life.
Delta. When I flew on Delta, I flew on their newer planes. The seats were a little bigger.
Right.
I had almost a fucking full tablet size screen, and free movies.
Yeah.
I watched Allied.
Those are the ones that are on the seat, right?
Yeah. I watched Allied, and then I watched a Warren Buffett documentary.
Right. And they actually have you could play poker and you could play games
and
stuff.
Yeah,
those two.
Kind of stuff.
It's like for a 5-hour flight, that's great because, you know, I was on against the window. It's like, you don't sleep so much.
Nothing better than a movie. You ever wear the stupid pillow?
The neck pillow?
Yeah.
It doesn't work for me. Yeah. I can't sleep with it. It doesn't. Yeah. I have one. I have owned two. I gave one away. Right. But like, it just, I don't sleep like that. I sleep with my neck to the side.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make it.
I try it because we have no necks in a sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For a neck pillow, you got to have a neck. I tried it and I'm like, I'd rather just, I actually, when I get it, I end up taking it and putting it up against the window.
I just take like a t-shirt or a sweater if I have a sweater and just use that for a side pillow.
I'm thinking about this thing for like Shark Tank where it's like, I always take a jacket. They have those stupid things you buy and you blow up.
Mm-hmm.
You can sit there and sleep on it. But it's actually like I'm going to take the chamois or the ShamWow and like my pillow. I'm going to create a new product, and it's going to be that thing where you just kind of roll up like that, and it holds you in so you don't have to worry.
I have that. I just saw the way you were moving your arms. I have that. I like to have a headlock on a pillow.
Yeah.
While I'm like that.
You are a mean guy. No wonder you're a bad guy. You can't. You sleep with like wrestling moves.
I sleep mad. I sleep angry.
I can't sleep without being in a full Nelson with a body pillow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I put my pillows in a figure four.
Every night I get choked unconscious.
Yeah, I put my pillows in a figure four. I got to have, like, because of my back. I had back surgery when I was, so my lower discs, you know, they're kind of like, and I had sciatica, and I have to have that. I have to have it. That's why I was in the comedy contest. There's like three pillows for me and my wife. My wife's like, oh, this is, you know, I'm taking pillows off the couch, you know, which are not the pillows you want to be sleeping with. But, you know, you're stuffing them around you like a, like Stay Push Marshmallow Guy. Something like that. Here's something. All right. This is all right. Cool. I got two, I'm going to go through these two pretty quick. Did you know Aaron Hernandez was gay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
That's why I thought he killed that guy, because he was hiding. He knew he was bisexual. So
I think you're right.
I heard that. I didn't look.
That was the room. And I'm like, well, because what other motive would he have? It's like, dude, if he's a real gangster, you can hire security.
Right.
But if he knows something you don't want someone else to know, then you have to kill him.
Prison authorities turned down a specific request from Aaron Hernandez to be allowed to share a cell with his male lover.
No, you don't get to do that. You don't get to butt fuck your lover every day.
Yeah, I'm in jail, prison. But I want to have fun while I'm here. Because it was weird, because you think about it, like he got convicted for the one, but acquitted for the other two. Yeah, but he was still in life plus 20.
Yeah.
You know. And
I heard he killed himself to give his daughter money.
Oh, yeah?
While he's on appeal. Yeah.
Hmm. Well, that's always interesting.
Because this is an article on how real it is, but the article said that, like, according to Massachusetts law, he's on appeal, if he dies, it nullifies his original conviction, so which means he never committed a crime. If you never convicted of a crime,
so his life insurance can pay.
When the money, the Patriots, they voided a part of his contract, or his contract, he's owed that money now.
Nice.
So maybe he did that so his daughter would get, you know.
That's why he passed up the conjugal visit. No, I want to see my attorney.
I'll take a towel and some soap. Because, like, he apparently barricaded the door and put soap on the floor. So if he changed his mind, he couldn't.
Nice. Well, you're going to do it. Do it. It says here that he chose 22-year-old armed robber Kyle Kennedy. He left suicide notes to three of them. Kennedy's attorney Larry Army confirmed that Hernandez had made the request to the authorities, to maximum security Souza Barawanski lockup, in this place. So, yeah, good point. I think that, listen, you talk about things you need to know. Aaron Hernandez was a closeted.
Is that good gay PR or bad gay PR?
It's kind of bad in the sense that, well,
he's miserable, more people are talking about it. He's a big macho dude, even if he's miserable about it.
Listen, I performed at a gay club not too long ago, and these guys looked like they all could be linebackers.
Yep. Yeah,
no, it's funny. You see dudes in West Hollywood, I'm like, yeah, go say something to him. Let's see how ballsy you are.
Call that guy a fag.
Yeah. No. I'll help you pick up your teeth.
Yeah, it'd be fun watching you.
But, like, I wonder if in a weird route, I think we are at least to the
point. I don't think the gay community wants to attach its star.
To a murderer.
To a murderer.
No, right. But I think they might, like, say.
To a man who murdered someone to hide his true identity. Yeah, that doesn't sit.
But I think it might still be a weird case of, like, the way some women's libbers were all excited when Monster got the death penalty.
Yeah.
Like, in a weird way.
Well, there's always a weird pack of people within a pack of people.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, a disturbing sex trend called stealthing. You heard of stealthing?
Yeah.
Stealthing is on the rise. You don't know what stealthing is?
It's dumb.
Yeah, stealthing means, you know, you put on, you're going to have some sex, you're sitting there, wow, this is great. And you actually have a condom. This is good. I got a condom, because sometimes you don't have it, and you're like, oh, you know. And you got it, and you put it on, and you're like, great. And you start doing your thing, and then somewhere in the middle of the action, you kind of maneuver the thing off.
So that's a term.
Yep.
Yeah. Like I did that a few times back in the day. You know, because it was either coming off or it became like a nuisance.
Yeah.
But well,
plan on it.
You tie them off and you keep reusing. So I mean,
you can't use a condom twice. Yeah. I don't know if you ever got that note. I got it when I was like 12. I had an older brother, so.
You can't wash them out?
No.
We shared a condom in our house.
Yeah. Like a toothbrush.
Yeah. You're lucky to get hand-me-down clothes. Yeah. This used to be your brother's rubber.
Oh, it just seems like. Like, I understand that it happens. We've all been drunk and everybody's been stupid.
Sure.
But, like, for that to be your MO is so fucked up, right?
Yeah.
To be like,
well, it's kind of like being on the highway and taking your seatbelt off.
No. Yeah, because it is as dangerous to yourself as it is the other people on the road.
But only if me flying out that window kills another car.
Yeah.
Or makes another car you have to race.
I mean, I used to mess with a girlfriend about jokingly pretending to come inside her. You know? But that's as far as, like, I wouldn't take a condom off. I've had a condom come off and I had to put another one on. You know?
Right. Yeah.
But these are people that are just reaching down and going, ain't nothing like the real thing. I can't take it. I'm just gonna.
Doesn't the girl know? I don't know what it feels like to get fucked. I don't, you know, man. So
you know, we haven't been in comedy long enough.
And I'm bullshit. I got more bounce checks than fingers.
I tell you, you know, I don't know. I listen, if you've gone through all the trouble putting the thing on, and like I said, it that
and
fact
you get something
that
to come in, it's great. Yeah. It's a receptacle.
Yeah, you can get out and go. You know, you don't have to sit there.
You don't got to get her a towel. You just got to climb out the window and her husband. You
listen,
know?
I'm sure Bill Clinton really wished to use one that night.
Yeah, I should have put a rubber on.
Just much better for me if I just put a slinky on it. At any rate, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm here with Chris Cope.
Hello.
And DJ Dangler, who are going to be at the Wise Guys Comedy Show tonight in Coral Springs, Florida, at Tavolino della Notte. Beautiful place, just $10. Call 954-509-0046 if you're going to do it. And, of course, it's going to be fun. We're going to come back, by the way, here on the show. We got straight from the headlines. You thought these stories were little, you know, messed up. But we'll be back with that right after this. Hey, this is Dougie Almeida from the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Why don't you come out and see a show? You can catch me April 20th and 23rd at the Comedy Catch in Chattanooga, Tennessee. On May 3rd through the 6th, I'll be at the Looney Bin in Little Rock, Arkansas. May 10th through the 13th, I'll be at the Looney Bin in Wichita, Kansas. May 19th, I'll be at the Claremont Performing Arts Center in Claremont, Florida. May 31st at the Mississippi Moon Bar at the Diamond Joe Casino in Dubuque, Iowa. And on June 1st to the 3rd, I'll be at Penguins Comedy Club in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. For more dates, go to DougieAlmeida.com. And remember, we want to make you laugh, so come on out and enjoy live comedy anywhere you possibly can. Thanks for listening, guys, and now back to the show.
Hey, this is Bob Gullo with the Wake Up Dougie Show. It's time to wake up and bake.
Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
And now for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's straight from the headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, and it's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of it. Unfortunately, most of the time, it's right out of here, South Florida. you know, could you imagine close calls? You're in the Olympics. For the gold and silver is the difference between a tenth of a second. You spend 4 years training. You do all this work to lose by a tenth of a second. I could tell you, my sophomore year in high school, I was a big schmo in soccer. I was the goalkeeper when we were in the state championship game, and a penalty kicks in the end.
Oh.
And I stopped the penalty kick out of the five, and one of our guys missed and hit the post, and we ended up losing the state championships. Can you imagine how much pussy I would have got as a high school guy if we actually won the state tournament that year? But in this case, you talk about going all the way, you know, to have things just determined. Coin flip decides new president of a Southern Illinois village. I didn't know there were still villages. I mean, I know the villages in Orlando area, the highest rate of STDs in any retirement community in history. And Marion, Illinois, coin flip has decided who will lead a tiny Southern Illinois town after no one wanted to come out and vote for these two losers. Not my kid. Ended in a tie, the election. Can you imagine? An exact tie.
Like 17-17?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It says there's a number here. The candidates each received 11 votes.
There you go.
In the April 4th election. Good thing there was nothing going on cable that night.
No shit.
The actual law in Illinois says a coin flip will settle any tie.
Yeah.
I guess in that case, when it's 11 people in the village and 11 people,
they're not going to resolve all that point. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I say, man, hell, this shit old school. Give it a duel.
Yeah.
How bad do you want this job?
10 paces, grab your pistola. Pow, pow. Yeah, but instead of a bullet,
both guys are empty at the end. They haven't hit each other.
Well, God, that's kind of sexist. There were women, by the way, Chris. There were two women.
Ooh. Right? Oh, I just said.
I know. Well, that's sexist. And, you know.
Women can murder each other old-timey fashioned-like, too.
Yeah, they can.
Yeah.
It's more like that nowadays, you know. Women are tougher.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh,
are you single? You married?
No, I think women have always been tough.
Yeah?
No.
I mean, think about giving birth in the back of a fucking wagon.
Well.
A covered wagon.
Resilient, sure. But I think more ladies could. Yeah. Girls are playing sports. Girls are learning how to move around more. None of my sisters could tumble. And girls in high school today tumble.
Yeah, tumbling's big. With high school chicks.
You
think the Mia, I call it the Mia Hamm effect. In the Mia women's soccer, Mia Hamm brought all these women, all these young girls to start playing soccer.
Yeah.
More than ever in history.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that is a valid point, but I just think women have always been a tough.
When I was growing up, I feel like I would have been the best girls basketball player in my conference. Does that like not a guy that played basketball, but just being tall and a boy.
Right, but then you go watch the game.
I don't think that's true anymore. I don't think that's true anymore at all.
They're dunking.
Yeah, now
the
these
ball.
High school girls are going to run circles around my fat ass.
You know, I had a woman at a show not too long ago that was one of these CrossFit women.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they took a photo, you know, you're taking photos with you and she's putting her arm around, you know, and this, and I'm like, holy Jesus, God, you know, this could be, you know what I mean? You talk about hard to have sex while your back's all messed up.
Yeah.
She's clean and jerking you.
Yeah, exactly.
My college girlfriend played college ball. Like, she was a college basketball player.
Right.
And she was big. Like she was very pretty, and like, she was still girl proportions, but she was like 6 foot, 6'1".
Right.
So she was probably still like 180 pounds, like as a healthy girl. Like,
yeah.
She had curves or whatever. She wasn't a pork chop or a big weirdo or whatever. But we broke everything.
Really?
Like the two. Yeah,
yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The two of us making out on a swing breaks the swing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we broke fucking.
In the hotel room, the lamp.
Just everything.
Everything
broke.
Falls off the nightstand.
So
I broke a bed one time in the comedy condo in Comedy Catch in Chattanooga.
Yeah.
That bed, the headboard was nailed to the wall. And I just was like, this is not going to hang in that drywall.
Yeah.
Crunch.
And then I remember just putting everything back together. You know, like, because the nails, I just pushed the nails back into the hole and I'm like, you know, waiting like a Tommy boy, waiting for someone to jump in the back. What'd you do?
What'd you do?
That's funny. Just there. And they had us in this little upstairs thing in the old club, where the old club was before they moved.
I know. I'm back there in November.
Yeah, it's a fun room. It was good. You know, I was there with Sean Jones, very funny guy.
Oh, my God.
Looks like it was just like Richard. It was, like, you know, nonstop, real showman.
Yeah, Sean works his dick off on stage.
Yeah, man. And he brings a towel up there. You know, I thought about it. You bring a towel up on stage sometimes?
No, I'm white.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I've only seen black headliners do that.
Yeah, I've seen it a few times.
TD's done it. TD, I think he was the first headliner I saw carry it like a fucking, I'm like, but he works his dick off on stage.
Yeah.
I sit down sometimes.
Yeah. You're a monologist.
Is that
what he calls? Because
lazy's a better.
I like this. In the last year or two, I've added a lot of theatrics and facial and a lot of, you know, mechanics.
Oh, I still saw my face and stuff. I just, like, you know, Cosby sits down and is like, you know, since he's old, I go, he also tells stories. He knows how to captivate you from his seat.
Right.
That's a skill. Like, you know, I don't know. Just sometimes I don't like standing. Sometimes I don't want to. If you're in a room with like 60 people, sitting is great.
It's called stand-up comedy, man. You know what I mean? When you sit down, it's, but he sits too. He sits down.
Are you saying he sits down too?
No. Sean sits down. He'll sit on a stool and then he'll get up. And
I kind of go, I'll do a mixture.
Yeah.
But like, sometimes I'll get there and I'll get real comfortable and my feet are up and I'm like, oh man, I'm just going to crush doing this.
Yeah.
If I could do comedy in a Barco lounger, I fucking would.
You walk around?
Yeah. I'm,
well, yeah, I would too. You better cherish those years.
But I'm fidgety and antsy anyway.
Right.
Like, I'm not a real high energy guy, but I would prefer to walk around. Yeah. When I'm writing or when I'm doing anything, I'm a free range student.
So you'd be good with those new desks, right? If you worked at one of those desks, you'd
I love those. I wish they'd have had those in fucking high school.
They're great.
It's a great invention.
Yeah.
Standing up and working?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I switched over because my back was screwed up. I had to get, I bought one from like IKEA, like a little standing desk, but I was too tall for it. So I put a bunch of books and shit on it too. So there's a big hillbilly stack of nonsense that I type on now.
The modern day equivalent of putting tinfoil on the fucking rabbit ears.
Yeah, that worked.
Yeah, that was. It wasn't that great how that worked. And then you have to, it was the worst thing in the world.
I have an antenna now for cable. Yeah, I get CBS, ABC.
You got like that digital thing. I noticed when I noticed I was on the West Coast that they have these things like, don't pay cable anymore. Just get this thing and you'll get all these thousands of digital channels on your.
Oh, yeah. I've seen more Korean prayer channels than I can count. But when it comes to like football on Saturday and Sunday, I got Fox, I got ABC, I got NBC, and I got CBS. So I don't watch any of those shitty sitcoms. I watch most of my shit. What I watch is
you unplugged, then you're unplugged, right? You're already unplugged. You got your own little. You got an antenna.
Yeah, yeah. I literally spent $30 getting the antenna just for football.
Yeah, well, the more I'm a big Netflix stockholder, so the more that kind of continues, I'm enjoying.
Damn,
it.
Damn, you can buy. I didn't realize they had a Netflix that's like purchasable stock.
Yeah, the stock.
What
actually,
are they trading at right now?
Right now, about 140 something, if not over 150.
A share.
It actually, it was up to about 182. If I remember the numbers right, 200. And I was mad because I was going to buy it around 30. This is when their gas prices were like $4 a gallon back in the early mid 2000s or something like that. And we're going through that. And I'm like, man, people are going to want to stay home. And the fundamental idea of buying the stock, I said, and I didn't. I bought other things and some pharmaceuticals, but I didn't buy that one stock. And I was like, and then of course it rallied up to about from 30 all the way and up to like 160, 180. And then it had fallen to about 70 in the last year and a half. And I said, well, I'm not missing this one again. We tunned it with the clients and stuff. So here's a story. Man grew pot because he thought it would be legal soon. That's a good business plan. In St. Albans, Vermont. Vermont police have arrested a man who acknowledged growing marijuana to prepare for possible statewide legalization.
I slept with a woman with the same argument.
Yeah.
Not hold up. I was like, it's going to be legal soon. She's going to be 18.
Yeah, eventually.
But it didn't hold up.
Well, see, now you wonder why
people are I thought I was going to be able to last for 3 years. I figured when I orgasm, she'd be 18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
They came across Michael Marshall while investigating a hunting violation. Marshall fled into a house after the confrontation with police, which is always good because when you run into your own house, they'll never find you. And then consented to a search of the residence. Police say they found and seized 13 full-grown marijuana plants and 27 little small
Why the
babies.
Fuck would you run from the cops? And why would you run back to your weed hideout?
Yeah, you leave.
Yeah.
Makes me wonder, does it say what the initial infraction was? What
like
was
a
it?
Hunting violation or something.
Fucking take your charge and go to fucking jail.
Yeah, I shot the deer. Give me the ticket.
Yeah.
That's
probably way better than 13 plants.
Yeah.
I was watching Cops. This dude was running through a neighborhood, and he ran through a fucking dude's backyard with a grow op.
Right.
And I don't... Before the cops left, the guy was in a wheelchair. He's like, I got all my paperwork. And that's so far from what I watched, all he had to say... I also think because the cops didn't have a search warrant and they had
fall upon it. Well, yeah.
I think if they find it, they can't do anything about it.
I think that's not true. I think if they stumble across it while
even if it's in the as long as they didn't do it, whether it happened by just by chance or
But I mean, you went on someone's. I guess
did they arrest the old guy?
No,
they didn't. Yeah, sure.
I mean, because he's like, I have all my paperwork, but like during the whole, I mean, I don't know how much editing was done. Probably a ton, but I mean, either he showed the cops all the fucking paperwork off camera,
right?
Or the cops were like, we can't.
Yeah, we're going to bring this guy in. We got to get a guy because, with a wheelchair.
But seriously, though, I was at a buddy of mine's house, and he sold weed, and we were smoking, and he had fucking jars of marijuana sitting out. I mean, jars. And these cops were looking for somebody in his backyard. And when they walked over the sliding glass door, I'm assuming they could clearly see everything in the living room.
Yeah.
So he put stuff out of sight, almost kind of in front of the cops. And then went to the sliding glass door, and they're like, yeah, we're looking for someone. He's like, I haven't seen anybody, blah, blah, blah. He's like, all right, have a good night. Slide the door. Cops went on their way. And I'm like, they at least could have smelled marijuana. You could smell it.
It's like the TSA. They don't care if you got weed. They're worried if you got a bomb.
Mm-hmm. Maybe so, I guess.
Might be. Yeah, we got plenty of time for these stories. Do you ever mail anybody anything? Like, I just mailed the Comedy Zone back the check from this weekend. I use the mail for that.
Yeah.
I use it once in a while.
Yeah.
Although when I came in, I had mail and I had a bunch of
crap. I mailed merch to myself.
Yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, I'm considering.
To avoid checking, like, an extra bag or something.
Right.
Yeah. It's cheaper to mail yourself a box of CD, because, like, if I run out of room And I'm like, oh, I'll just pay $7-$8 to USPS this to the hotel.
Yeah.
My buddy always mails like souvenirs and shit that he buys on the road back. Like whenever he buys something big, he always sends it back as opposed to pay for it on the airport.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people do that.
We got a FedEx account at my day job, my company.
Nice.
And I could send like 15 pounds of shirts for like $10.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And you know, anybody, and now, like Southwest, we talk about airlines, Southwest lets you check a bag for free. Mm-hmm. So when I'm going to Looney Bin next week, I'm just going to bring a bag. I'm going to put all my shirts in a bag and throw it on the plane. And then I carry my computer, my little carry-on, boom. My big thing is, I don't know, I think the question real quick, back to comedy. Like, I go on stage, I have a certain, you know, persona. I had a couple mentors give me some advice on my style of comedy. And I come out with a nice shirt, collared shirt, got suede shoes. It's my character, but that means I got to bring shirts that need to be ironed and all this stuff. You know, any particular look on stage?
For about the better part of like 11 years, I wore like a one kind of button down. This white shirt, I wore it completely out. The shirt completely out.
Yeah.
And then the last year or so, I've kind of gained a little bit of weight, so I ran out of clothes that fit. So a lot of times I'd wear just t-shirts. So I'd fit.
You said you kind of gained some weight.
Yeah,
just you know, and just like me, I'm always in the
back. Well, I've just gone. I went from like a 2X to a 3X, so it's like I don't know
if you're reaching for porn or a shirt,
right? Yeah, but I don't. So sometimes it just also depends on the venue. Like if I'm at like tonight, that's why I asked you: should I wear a coat or I switch it up? I kind of dress appropriately for the venue.
Yeah.
So the audience has like I don't want to dress over like people. I don't want them to.
Yeah. Well, see, I've heard people say that to me, like, you want to look better than anybody in the audience. Yeah, that's like...
I've heard that always try to be... I've heard that, and I
have more of a commons man's approach.
I ascribe to it sometimes, but I've always heard, like, just be a shade better dressed than anyone in the audience.
Right.
Not all the way, but if they're all wearing suits, have a tie, or if they're all wearing shirts, wear a tie. If they're all... If no one's wearing a shirt, wear a shirt.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of adhere to that. Usually it's like, it depends on, like, if I'm doing a casino show, I'll wear a shirt and a coat.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm doing something, like, we're going to be cleaner, same thing. If it's a nicer comedy club, I'll wear a coat, you know. But if it's, and it's new, I used to just wear.
I can't wear a coat. I'm just a sweater.
I take it off.
Yeah.
I take it off. Put on the coat on the.
Yeah, once you get on there, just put on the mic stand.
Yeah.
I tend to wear a jacket on stage. I think just because I tend to wear them in general. I like them because there are a lot of pockets. Or what have you, and it's kind of become...
Like a jacket or a coat?
It's like a jacket. Like, I'll probably have it. It's going to be weird being in Florida today. I think it might still be chilly enough. I might still wear it tonight. Just a little zip-up jacket.
Okay.
A little comedy fashion, right? But I think it's key. You know, you want to look...
When I was starting out, this is so... Like, I'm embarrassed about it. When I was starting out, I would always wear rings because I'm a fidgeter, and it would kind of give me something to mess with on my... But, like, and it was also a weird... Especially, like, and I'm talking like 2 or 3 years in, I kind of needed the ritual. Like, I needed the, I put this on.
A lot of comics have a drink.
Shirt was like, it was like for me to go to work. It's like, it was a uniform.
It was like putting your knee pads on before a wrestling practice. You're like, nope, this is when I only wear these for meets.
Right. Yeah.
Like a weird.
This is my show shirt that I had, you know?
Well, that's what I do. I actually got a Macy's brand of Alfani, trying to get them as sponsors. Nice. You know, there's certain, because like for a guy like me, I get double XLs and I'm not that tall. So they ends up being either long sleeved or like their slim fit where, you know.
You are the reasons extra double XLs are broken for me now.
Yeah.
Because now they're just, now they're little belly shirts that fit me around the shoulders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I hate when I put a 2X on it. Like when I was an honest 2X, I hate when I'd find one that was like, oh, I love the shirt you put on. It's like, who the fuck, who's this for?
Yeah, what do, it's like if they're from Thailand.
Yeah.
Like, this is a funny story. I had a fight. I think I was in somewhere in North Carolina. I'm trying to remember where it was. And I had the shorts. They were done. They were Broadhead sponsors that did it. They got double XL on the short, but their tie. The thing barely fit on my leg. So I had just regular shorts, like soccer shorts, like Adidas shorts in the back. I ended up fighting the guy with Adidas shorts on. Still won That's in the hilarious. First round, actually, in the third minute. Second minute. Here's a story. Bad experience at bookstore prompts man 71 to retaliate with a dildo barrage. Ooh. You know, listen, if you can't find a gun, grab a dildo.
So is that what they call a cockfight?
It was. Meet Nelson Webb Lentz. Following a bad experience at a Books A Million outlet near his Louisiana home, the 71-year-old Lentz decided to retaliate in a unique way. Instead, Lentz visited the Monroe business and left dildos on the shelves of the store's religion section. Lentz copped his bizarre actions during a police interview. I don't get it.
Just came in and left dildos all over the store.
Yeah.
I was hoping he was going to be throwing them at him like a deranged.
That's
Batman.
What I thought. I thought the story captured me.
Yeah, I was hoping like a boner rang.
Like he just got mad, just started grabbing, throwing wherever section he was in. You know.
There was a sex shop like 10 or 15 minutes from the town I grew up in. And kids would always go there drinking and end up in dildo fights and would regularly get like a couple of kids got picked up at the Lion's Den for being 18 and drunk in public because they would show up and chuck a dildo at their buddy.
You know what's funny? I worked in a porn shop for 2.5 years in North Central Florida. And I hated when people my age would come in because they would laugh. They were just rude.
Right.
They were mature. And they would regular patrons would leave.
Right.
Because they're like, I'll come back and shop when I don't have an 18-year-old giggling every fucking 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was nice because, you know, you pull some ass with some of the girls that came in there, but, you know.
Yeah. Hopefully don't have to mop up the viewing section, though.
Every so often.
Yeah. Got to clean that place up. You talk about Aaron Hernandez putting butter on the floor so he didn't, you know. I guess that's how he learned it.
Yeah.
He was in a glory hole.
He uses that butter for the butt fucking.
Yeah. Don't waste all the butter.
Yeah.
Well, this is cute. I'm a dog lover. I have dogs. And, you know, it was always, sometimes your pup, you have a little wine. We just give our little dog a little wine. You know what I mean? You know, you don't give him a whole glass. Damn, you know. But here's a guy that got pulled over. He was wasted. And so was his dog, a little chihuahua. You know, not only do I drive drunk, but my dog does too.
Yeah.
An intoxicated chihuahua has added to the criminal troubles of its owner, according to the Pennsylvania Record, Thomas Blodel.
He's a mean drunk.
Yeah, 44 was, those chihuahuas. The worst dog I'd ever had was from a chihuahua. Yeah. Lady, I'm outside of Cumberland Farms in Margate, Florida. I'm walking, I'm like 10, 11, going to get whatever. And it was one of these three-wheelers, old lady's bikes with a basket in the back. And she had a chihuahua. And I had my first dog was a chihuahua mix. You know, but the neighbor named it Fifi. It's a fucking chihuahua. You name it Fifi. And I go to pet the little bastard. He bites onto my hand. And I'm lifting I'm holding it up. And like, you know, he had a hold of me. And I'm like, took a chunk out of my hand by my thumb. Blota, who's 44, was arrested on Thursday after he was found to be drunk behind the wheel of his 2014 Subaru Outback. That's a nice car. Blota slammed the SUV into a pole. Outside a suburban Pittsburgh home, Blodel, cops say, was not alone at the time of the crash. The vehicle's other occupant was Maxwell, Blodel's dog. And like his owner, Maxwell at night was also plastered. Seems a canine lapped up the vodka he had been carrying while he was in the car.
Man's best friend indeed.
Yeah. Guy's dead. He's dying on the steering wheel from crashing into something. Mm-hmm. Dog's all fucked up, getting drunk.
Did he die?
Nah, he's good.
I mean, you're yelling at Lassie, but she's tanked.
Yeah. What's that? What's going on, girl?
And she's just barking about her feelings.
Yeah.
She takes you to a Taco Bell.
They get to the action, and she's smoking a cigarette.
Yeah. And another thing.
Talking to a fat, ugly woman at the bar. The chihuahua was subsequently transported to a veterinary office where staff noted Maxwell's eyes were dilated. One time, my Jack Russell ate half a joint that somebody had left on the table outside. Yeah. And he was like, we walked out of the show here, and he's stumbling around, like, pee-pee coming a little bit. It was, you know, a little drip of pee-pee. He was, like, stumbling. Like, what the hell happened to the dog? And my buddy goes, I think you may have eaten my joint.
I can remember. This is such, like, a this is an awful story. I can remember I was in college, and we were doing lines, and somebody had a puppy that came in and, like, hit the mirror and just bounced around. Like we were legit scared. Like, it was one of those. And it was just an instant. Like, it came in and hit it like it knew what it was doing, man. Like it
really? Just started snorting?
Yep. Like, it would have been residue that was left. But that's like, that's like seven in dog lines.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah. Like,
dog just hit a ball in like 1 second.
And but just blew up. Yeah. Like, and it was one of those where like, oh, this dog is dead. And it was fine.
They always say most people got to take them. We took them to the vet, cost some money, but most time they say they just let them sleep it off.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sometimes they can die because they go into seizures and stuff. Yep. But anyway, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I want to thank again DJ Dangler. And, of course, Chris Cope for joining us here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Don't forget tonight at Wise Guys Comedy Show at Tavolino. Tavolino della Notte, just $10. Showtime's 8:15. Get an RSVP a table. Great food. We're going to eat. After the show, they serve us like family style.
And I got
to
go.
Oh, yeah? We'll pack you something then, dude, okay. Before you go. And we'll sit and just munch out and stuff like that. And by the way, that's it for this week. Next week, we'll have a couple shows. I'm flying out, but stay tuned. Don't forget to listen to us on Bubba Army Radio on Saturday and Sunday at 4 o'clock on those days. We're on that little lineup we got over there. And, thanks for that. And follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. You can also go to our fan page at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show on Facebook. And follow me on Instagram at Dougie Dangerous. Where can we find more about you?
My website is www.chriscopecomedy.com. And for Instagram and Twitter, it's at Chris Cope Comedy. So look me up. Talk to me. I'll talk back.
DJ?
Twitter's just DJ Dangler. My website's djishandsome.com.
Yeah, that's your Twitter. I thought that's your Twitter handler, DJ is Handsome.
No, it's my email.
Oh, that's what I've been tweeting all your stuff on that.
No, I think I might have started that Twitter first and then.
And then you only have like 30. I was like, I'm booking this guy. Yeah. He's got 30 followers.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't be it.
That's the wrong one. Anyway, thanks again, guys. We'll see you here next week, right at the same spot. Take care.
Frontiers, war without tears.